The Lord laid this on my heart a while back, and I wanted to share it with you all. And it's out of the book of Judges, chapter 2. Judges, chapter 2. Book of Judges, chapter 2. Judges, chapter 2. And I want to read, I'll begin in verse 11, and I want to read down through verse 23. So if you find your place in the Bible, would you please stand with me out of just respect for the Word of God? Chapter 2, verse 11, beginning of verse 11. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Balaam and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he delivered them into the hands of the spoiler that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whether they went out, they had the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them, and yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and bowed down unto them. They ceased not for their own doings, from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he said, because that this people hath transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein, as their fathers did keep it, or not. Therefore, the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. Let us pray. Father, we are so thankful for your wonderful holy word that you've given us by holy men of old, as the Holy Spirit spoke, and they were moved and they penned down these words that come directly from your lips. And Father, we're thankful for the examples that we have in history that we can follow after, Father, and learn, but not follow sometimes, maybe lead us in a different direction. Open our understanding this morning, and Father, may your word not return void as you promised it would not. May it do that which it is here to perform in the hearts of those who love you and even those who don't, Father. May you work in their lives as well. We ask all this in Jesus' holy name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, our founding fathers were, for the most part, all Christians, for the most part. Not all of them were Christians. They were not all followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But our laws and our government were established on Christian principles. Belief in God was woven into our history down from the beginning of the United States of America. God has blessed this nation tremendously. But today, her future, it is in great jeopardy of becoming like a third world country. We're close, folks. We're close to becoming a third world country. We look around and we look at our nation and we talk about how rich we are as a nation and what good shape we're in as a nation, but we're not. We may have money And we may have those who have high prestige in this nation. But you know, folks, it's not about the money. It's not about the riches. It's not about the material things. We need God back in America. We have got to get God back in America. This is of immense concern to many people. There are a lot of Christians. And I thank God with all of my heart that we still have a group of people, even here in Abundant Life Baptist Church, who still put their trust in Jesus Christ. And they follow after Him, and they put Him first in their life. And we just want to continue that path that we're on now. We don't want to turn back from that. We don't want to forsake God in anything ever, ever out of Abundant Life Baptist Church. We've got to keep our focus where it needs to be, folks. But it's of immense concern. You know, the moral and spiritual fabric of America seems to be it's unveiling, folks. It's falling apart. Our nation is in trouble. And we have leaders in our nation who really don't care. They do not care. They're doing the very best that they can to destroy what God has given the people of America. I watched a few videos yesterday concerning the immigration issues that we're having down in Texas. Texas is about this close to a civil war with the United States federal government. And I'm behind them 100%. I am behind them 100%. And I'll tell you this right now, if I would get a call from the Texas governor and say, can you grab your gun and come down? I'm packing my bags, folks. I'm packing my bags. Israel here is the example of that. When God sent them into Canaan, God told them back in Deuteronomy that they were supposed to go in, tear down the idols of the evil and put him up above all. Amen. But you know what? They didn't do it. They didn't do it. And God's anger was hot against it. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine God's anger being hot against you, whether it's an individual, whether it's a church, no matter what it is? Don't anger God. Don't put a fire under God's anger. That is the last thing that we need to do. But so what caused Israel to forsake God? The same thing that caused America to forsake God. You know, we're probably the only nation in the entire world that doesn't have closed borders. But we used to have that. We had closed borders one time. We kept the evil away. I heard yesterday, senator from Texas, Ted Cruz, talking. He was being interviewed by a Fox News lady, and I listened to that little conversation he had. He said 9.6 million people have come into the United States since Joe Biden's been in office. 9.6 million illegals! And the bulk of them are murderers, they're rapists, they're child molesters, they are evil people. And he gave an example of just a few miles from the border down in Texas, there was a young high school girl who was killed. Who was killed by one of these evil people that's come across our border. And you see, the nation of Israel, that's the same thing they did. We're following in the same footsteps that Israel followed back in the days of Joshua, after Joshua died. Joshua was a great leader. Moses was a great leader. We've had some good leaders in our nation, folks. But then some of them had to cheat to get in the office, and our nation's being destroyed as a result of that. So what were the consequences of the departure from God, and how can a nation or any individual return back to God? Once we've turned our back on God and we've forsook God, there's got to be true repentance, folks. As a nation, we've got to repent and turn back to God. If we don't do that, then we are going to become worse than a third world nation. You want to know the history? You want to know the future? You want to know about prophecy? Look at the history. That's where it's at. Look back on history. See what they did in the Old Testament. What did the nation of Israel do to anger God the way that they did, to upset him to the point where it says clearly here, and I believe it says it about four or five times throughout the whole book of Judges, that the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. He was angry with them. The worst thing you want is a holy God to be angry at us. And there's only one way for the nation of America to get back on track. There's only one hope for America. That's Jesus Christ. Amen. That is the only hope that we have, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we don't turn back to Him, I'm telling you, folks, we're going to see it in our lifetime. We're going to be a third world nation. They're going to shut down churches. They're going to do everything in their power to destroy what our founding fathers did Because they loved the Lord Jesus Christ. They loved Jesus. You want to know about prophecy? Look at history. Jesus told his disciples when they asked him, well, what's it going to be like when you come back again and set up your kingdom on this earth? He said, well, as it was in the days of Noah. We're there. We are in the days of Noah now. And we got to get as many people as we can on the ark. And that ark is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we don't do something soon, we're going to be in trouble. First of all, I want to give you 3 points today. The nation of Israel was a chosen people. God chose those people. He chose them because Abraham was willing to give up everything that he had and follow after God. When God said, I want you to leave your homeland down in Ur, and I want you to follow me because I want to make a great nation from you. I want you to be a nation that when you look up into the stars, there'll be so many people who come from your bloodline that you can't even compare the stars to them. He wanted to increase that nation. They were a chosen people, and as a result, they were a privileged people. Go back into the book of Deuteronomy with me. Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 7 with me. Deuteronomy chapter 7, and look at verses 6 and 8. Deuteronomy 7, 6 and 8. It says, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto him. Above all people that are upon the face of the earth, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because ye were more in number than any people. Because he chose just Abraham and Sarah to start with. For ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. They were a privileged people. God took care of them. Folks, we're under bondage right now, whether we like it or not. The prince and the power of this air, the devil himself, Lucifer, him and his demons right now have put America in bondage. And they're going to do their very best to destroy this nation. And if we don't do something about it now, it's going to get out of hand. And I'm afraid right now that it may be gone too far right now. One person's not going to fix the problems in America. It's not going to happen. Donald Trump is right now, he's probably about the only decent person out there running that we have for this nation. But Donald Trump can't fix the problems in America. Not unless God's people repent, turn back to God, get down on their knees, come to the altars of God, and pour out our hearts to Him. Amen. We are never going to see anything happen good in America ever again if we don't get down on our knees before our holy God and tell Him. Amen. And repent and say, oh God, I have sinned. Because you know what? It starts in the church. That's where it starts, folks. It's got to begin right here in Abundant Life Baptist Church in Proctorville, Ohio, where we have got to get on our knees at this altar of God and lift up our nation and lift up one another and pray for God's people. And we better be praying for this election that's coming up, or we're in trouble. Amen. You think we've had trouble the last 3 years? You wait and see what's going to happen if that evil man gets back in office again. We're in trouble. We are in deep trouble. Plain and simple. They're a chosen people because they're a privileged people, and they're also, there's promise to Israel. In Joshua 1:2, it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go to Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. So what Israel's doing right now over there, folks, they're living up to the promise that God gave them. God gave them that land. He promised that land to them. And when Donald Trump was in office, which, by the way, I read this morning that he's being referred to in the European nations right now as the blonde bully. They're calling him the blonde bully. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord. Maybe we need a few bullies in this world. People that will stand up against nations that want to destroy America. You know, that what comes across the borders into our nation, you know what they are? They're a bunch of evil people that their own countries don't want. Or they're sending people, and I heard Ted Cruz say it twice now, what he has said about this stuff going on at the border is the reason that they're wanting these people to come in is they're trying to get more voters. because they're allowing these people in the state of New York, and I believe one other state, to vote without a card. They're not even American citizens, folks. What destroyed the nation of Israel? They bonded with the evil. They bonded with the evil. When God told them to go in and destroy a nation, they didn't do it. Well, I also read where one of the immigrants who got caught made a comment to one of the writers down there. He was interviewing one of them, and he said, "Soon you will know who I am." We're being set up to be destroyed from the inside out, folks. It happened on 9/11. It happened on 9/11. We trained the pilots that destroyed the Twin Towers, and they killed over 3,000 souls in one day, folks. How many people were saved on the day of Pentecost? Over 3,000 souls. You ever put that together and think about that? On 9/11, they destroyed 3,000 American citizens, and then we allow them to build mosques in our nation. Folks, we're in trouble. When you allow the enemy to come in to a godly nation, quote, godly nation, but one of the presidents and his wife made the comment one time that America is no longer a godly nation. Well, that's what our problem is. We're not. We're no longer a godly nation. But you see, the nation of Israel was a chosen people, and I believe America was chosen by God at one time to allow the freedom, not of any religion, but the freedom of worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, people don't understand that Christianity, and I wish our founding fathers would have named it a little bit different instead of finding it on freedom of religion. It should have been freedom of relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what it was here for. That's what they came over for, because the King of England and them over there were trying to tell them that they could and could not worship Jesus Christ in a special way, the way they wanted to, according to the Word of God. So they left. And they came here and they set up our nation to be a nation free to worship Jesus Christ and Him alone. That's what it was meant to be, folks. So they were a chosen people. They were a careless people. And God gave warning to Israel in Deuteronomy 6 verses 4 through 25. Moses taught the people of Israel the things of God. He gave them the Word of God. God gave them the commandments that they were supposed to follow, and Moses gave those commandments to the children of Israel, and Moses read the Word of God to them, and they still failed to obey it. How many times do preachers get up behind pulpits and they try to tell the truth to people, not because it's a hate crime, but because they love people and they want God. They want God to be in the hearts of those people, and they want to see a change in the lives of people, and they want people to go to heaven one day and not stand before a holy God and Him look at them when they come before Him and said, "Did I not cast out devils in your name? Did I not do things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ?" And Jesus look at him and say, "Depart from me. I don't know who you are. I don't know who you are." Where's your heart, folks? Where's our hearts at? Are you in love with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you do what you do because you love Him? Or do you do it because you just think you're going to work your way into heaven? No one will work their way into heaven. There's only one way to get to heaven. And Jesus said it, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He's the door into heaven, folks. That's it. That's all that there is. There's only one way. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen. That's what they told the Philippian jailer. When Paul and Silas were back in the dungeon, they weren't just in a jail cell. Today, if you go to jail today, folks, you get 3 square meals a day. You got a warm bed to sleep in. Nobody cares about going to jail anymore. Why? Because it's nicer than their own home. But you know, there was a time when they put people into prison, like Paul and Silas, when they put them in the prison cells and they stuck them clear back in a cave as far as they could get them, and they changed them in the darkness, and an earthquake came and it shook and it knocked the fetters off their hands and their feet. And what did they do? They sang praises to God, and the praises that they sang back then, folks, They were louder than some of the people singing in our churches today because everybody heard them. They heard them singing praises to God. So people, listen, no matter how bad it gets, no matter how dark it gets, we've got to gather together as God's people, and we've got to sing the praises to God just as loud as we can possibly do it. I don't care if they hear it downtown in Proctorville. We need to sing, and we need to sing loud. We need to let people know that we're here to worship God, and that's what we're going to do. Let's not be a careless people, because we are a chosen people. God chose us before the foundation of the world. He saved us because He loved us. He gave His only begotten Son because He loved the world. God is not willing that any should perish, but that everybody should come to repentance. No reason for anybody to go to hell except they choose that path. No reason for it. They go to hell because they want to. Because they can't give up the earthly things that they love so much. And when they love the world more than they love God, there's a problem, folks. And where does it begin? It begins with us, right here at Abundant Life Baptist Church. But Moses gave the people the word of God. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to begin in verse 5. It says, "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whether ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them." Keep therefore and do what God's word tells us to do. It's simple. It's not hard, folks. Say no to sin and say yes to God. It's not hard to do. He says, "Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations." If a nation wants to be strong, they got to stand on the word of God. In 1962, and I'm ashamed to say I was born in 1962, because in 1962, that's when they took the Bible out of the schools and they took prayer out of schools in 1962, the year I was born. That tears me up. I wish I'd been born the year before or a year after. But it should tear us up. And that's when our nation began to crumble, folks, when they took it out of the schools because of one person didn't want it to happen. Where was the Christians in 1962? Where were we at? What were we doing? We got complacent, folks. We live in a complacent nation. And complacency is nothing more than a lazy bunch of people who don't want to stand up and do what's right. And that's a shame that we got to that point. But he goes on, he says, "Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For that nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him. And that nation is there so great, that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest thou depart from the heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." We had a responsibility a long time ago, way before I was born, way before some of us were born, to teach our children the ways of God. And somewhere along the line in 1962, somebody said, "We're not going to do that no more." And as a result, our nation is turning into a third world country, folks. It takes time for a nation to fall. It does. But we're headed in the wrong direction. And if it don't scare us, there's a problem with us. We better check our hearts. If you don't love America more than that, then shame on us. There are the waywardness of Israel. The problem of Israel's waywardness was a heart problem. What's wrong with America, folks? It's a heart problem. They said it down in Texas when they had that big shooting a long time ago. I think it was the governor of Texas said back then about all the shootings that were taking place. He said the problem is they are hearts without God. Hearts without God do evil things. They really do. They do evil things. And it goes on, and you know, and Jeremiah 5:20 says, but this people hath revolting and rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know what? We don't know our own hearts. If you have a heart without God today, your heart is evil, it's deceptive. You don't even know what you're going to do from moment to moment. Only God is the one who knows the heart. He's the one who tries the heart. He goes on in verse 10 of Jeremiah chapter 17. He says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways. We are going to stand before God individually and collectively as a nation and as the church or the body of Christ, we're all going to stand before Him one day and we're going to be judged by God Almighty. The leaders of this nation down through the years are going to be judged before God Almighty because they've turned their back on the one who gave them life. Makes no sense. Does it make any sense to anybody? Why in the world would we forsake a God who loved us enough to give His only Son to die on the cross, shed His blood, every drop of His blood, I believe, was shed from that body, and if He would have done it for just you, if you were the only one on this earth, He would have shed every drop of that blood just because He loved the world so much. And when it says God so loved the world, it's not that God so loved the material things of this world. He didn't even love the trees or the plants or any of that. He does, but not in the way He loves us. Jesus didn't die for the pew, folks. He died for you. He gave His life for each one of you, each and myself as well. He was hung on the cross and he stood there in shame, totally naked on that cross, folks. Whether you want to believe it or not, that's what it was. If that's not shameful, what is it? And every drop of blood had come out of His body and seeped into the ground. But you know that blood, if it had just been one drop, would have been enough to go all the way back to Adam and Eve until the last amen in the book of Revelation. But He loved us that much. So the waywardness of Israel, one of the things that they did is they compromised with their enemies. And that's exactly what we're doing now as a nation. We are compromising by opening our borders and say, come on in, every one of you, all the evil people, come into America. We're no longer a godly nation. We don't care what you do. Come on in. We'll let you have your way. That's what we're doing, folks. We're opening our borders. We're getting ourselves into trouble. We're compromising with the enemy. Judges 1:28 tells us, and it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites in tribute and did not utterly drive them out. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 through 6, it says, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughters thou shalt not give unto his sons, and his daughters shalt not thou give unto thy sons, for they will turn away thy sons from following me, that they may serve other gods. That says the whole thing right there, folks. We're letting ungodly people come into our nation who worship nothing but self. They worship themselves. I was witness to a guy here, it's been a while back, but I was able to spend some time with him and I was witnessing to him. And he had the belief that we're all our own gods within ourselves. We're our own gods within. I can't save myself, folks. I did not give myself birth on this earth. I did not create the body that I stand in. God did all of that. Why would I want to worship somebody as stupid as myself? Why would I want to do that? I have no sense whatsoever, except it come from God Almighty. I don't understand us. It should anger us, but it goes on there. It says, for they will turn away thy sons from following me. Folks, I'm going to give you, men, I'm talking to the men for a minute. We have a bad tendency of letting our ways be deterred, changed by our wives. I was talking to a guy the other day. And we had a conference call on the phone or on the internet, and he said I used to be a Protestant. He said, yeah, I got married. My wife was a Catholic, so I became a Catholic. Why? Where are the men? That's what's wrong with our nation, folks. Where's the men? Can we not stand up and be men? What happened? But as a result of their compromise with the enemy, folks, number two, after that point, they rebelled against God. Judges 2, 2 and 3. Judges 2, 2 and 3. It says, and ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. In other words, you don't make no treaty with these people. You don't make treaty with evil people, folks. Ye shall throw down their altars. Tear them down. Throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore, I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your side, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. Folks, the gods of the old time Bible, back here what we just read about Baal and Ashtaroth, they're here today. Those were demon-possessed gods that people followed because they were ignorant. Not that they had to be ignorant. They chose to be ignorant. They turned their backs on God. They forsook God. And when they did that, what happened to the nation of Israel? They become captive by their own enemies. They become captive by their own enemies, folks. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2 says, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Nobody has the right to add to or take away from the Word of God. Nobody. Nobody. Why do you think I stand on the King James Version of the Bible? It's the closest thing you're going to find to the original Greek, Hebrew, Latin, whatever that they found the Word of God in, those old scrolls, because King James got a bunch of men together who understood theology. They understood Greek. They understood Hebrew. They were able to read it and understand it. I don't read Greek. I don't read Hebrew. But I trust that God gave those men enough wisdom to put this down as close as it could possibly be to the Word of God. I will not use anything outside the King James Version of the Bible. This is God's inerrant word. Nobody has a right to change it. But what people want to do, I was listening to a thing the other day, and they called this guy who was out in front of a church that had, and he was kind of protesting this church for their beliefs and some of the things that they were promoting and allowing to happen in their church. They even had a sign out, and it was a First Baptist church, but they had a sign out front that said very clearly, refugees welcome. Refugees welcome. And the guy was standing out there with a sign, and he was kind of talking to the pastor of the church, and the pastor of the church looked at him and he said, do you not believe John 3:16? The guy said, yes, I do. And he said, well, quote it. And he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And then he went on to quote other verses about repentance from sin. And he looked at the guy, and the guy was quoting Paul to him, and some of the writings of Paul that you can read in the book of Romans chapter 1. And he starts using some of that to him. And the preacher said, you're a Paulinian. They're calling real Christians who believe the Bible from cover to cover Paulinians now. In other words, you're following the Apostle Paul, not the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, who called Paul? Jesus Christ called him. Made him on the road to Damascus. He was a light. He lit up in front of him. He blinded him for a few days. And then he called him to preach to who? The Gentiles. He was called by Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, God Almighty, is the one that gave us this entire Bible, Genesis to Revelation. You got to love it. You got to live it. You got to dig into it. You got to know Jesus. This is how God talks to us, through the Word of God, folks. Through the Word of God. That's how it comes. But they rebelled against God. They failed to teach their children what God told them to teach them. Back there in the book of Deuteronomy, he says, you teach this to your children their whole days. And they will. And if you do that, and you hold them accountable to that, a little paddle to the backside every now and then, never hurt nobody. Believe you me, or I wouldn't be standing up here today. I had my share of that paddle to my backside. I had that my dad's strap to my backside a few times. And it made me do what was right. The wickedness of Israel in Judges chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger. Why do people do that? God saved them out of the nation of Egypt. They were in bondage for 400 years to the nation of Egypt. And God pulled them out of that. They saw the miracles that God did through Moses and Aaron. They saw those miracles, but yet they still forsook the God who took them out of bondage. They weren't happy. They were happy we were back in bondage. What is wrong with us? When God saves us out of sin, why don't we go back to it? Walk away from it. Say no to sin. There's nothing wrong with that. God called Israel's behavior, and when he called them out on it, and their behavior was evil. They turned from the true God to worship the gods of other nations. And they let their daughters marry the evil. They let their evil son, their sons marry the evil daughters. And as a result, they changed them. Why do women change men? I don't get it. But it happens. It happens all the time. Thank God when I met my wife, she was a Baptist. She was in an independent fundamental Baptist church. We both went to the same Christian school. We got married right out of high school. I praise God for that every day, folks. I really do. And God, the third thing I want to share with you is that they were a chastened people. They were a chastened people. The nation, you know what? Chastisement of God is coming to America. I believe it's already here. I think we're already being judged by God. But we're too blind to see it. We're too blind to see it. The nation of Israel, they were a chastened people. Before I get back into that, I want to go back up here and I want to share this with you. I want us to understand about Baal and Ashtaroth, which they talked about there, that they turned to this false god. A false god. Baal and Ashtaroth. And here's the sad part. Baal was a male deity and Ashtaroth was a female deity worshipped in the Canaanite religion. They worshipped these idols. They worshipped them. Baal was perhaps the most degraded and degrading form of worship ever practiced on earth. The Canaanites engaged in temple prostitution, fertility rites, drunken sexual orgies on the most debased variety, idolatry, snake worship, homosexuality, and even human sacrifices. What a scary thing. These were people worshiping false gods, and they were doing human sacrifices. They were literally sacrificing human beings to these false gods. What have we done in the abortion of over 60 plus million babies? We've offered them up as a human sacrifice to the evil of this world. We've allowed that to happen. God forgive us. God forbid that we don't get on our knees before Almighty God and pray for this nation and pray for our church, that it would continue in the right direction. But the nation of Israel, everything about Baal worship was opposite of the moral standards and values that God had given them through the Word of God, and they refused to accept it. It's not that hard to do. Say yes to God, say no to sin. Say yes to God and no to sin. It's simple. If God says it's wrong, then it's wrong. Don't do it. But they were a chastened people, the nation of Israel. God's method of chastisement, you can find that in Judges chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Let's take a look at that. It says, whether they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil. As the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were very greatly distressed. Are we not a distressed nation right now? We're a very distressed nation. It ought to break our hearts. And verse 16, nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. It's kind of monotonous, isn't it? They were like a yo-yo nation. That's what they were. They were up here with God for a while, and then they would forsake God, turn their backs on God, because the people in the land, they would follow after false gods. They worshiped this Baal and this Ashtaroth, and they went after the evil of this world, and they forsook God. And then distress would hit them. And their lives were falling apart. And then just out of the blue, oh God, what have we done? Forgive us. And what does God do? In his great mercy, he showed his kindness. And he raised up judges once again. But as soon as the judge would die when his life was over, right back they went into the sin. That's the way it works. It's been that way since the beginning of time. And when are we ever going to get through our thick skulls, drill through the wood, and find out that God is right and we are wrong? We are wrong. But God's method of chastisement was he gave them up. In Romans chapter 1, he gave them over to a reprobate mind. You know what a reprobate mind is? It's a mind that cannot know the difference between right and wrong. They say right is right and wrong is wrong and vice versa. They're totally, anything that God says is right, they say is wrong. God's mercy in his chastisement. He delivers Israel in verse 16. Disobedience of Israel again in verse 17. They would not hearken unto their judges. And then the degrading of Israel happens again in Judges chapter 3, verses 7 through 8. Our current political and economical hardship that we're facing right now in our nation, we're experiencing in our nation, may be directly related to the fact that our morals and spiritual values are no longer there. General Douglas MacArthur, and I quote, said, "History fails to record a single precedent in which nations subject to moral decay have not passed into political and economical decline. There has been either a spiritual awakening to overcome the moral lapse, or a progressive deterioration to the ultimate national disaster." It's going to fall apart because there's no morals in our nation, folks. If we don't get back to the morals of God, we're in trouble. The morals of the Word of God. When God says it's wrong, it is wrong. When God says it's right, whether we like it or not, it is right. George Washington. During his inaugural address, Washington clearly communicated with the foundation of the United States would be built upon, this is what he said. It would be built upon the foundation of our national policy will be laid in the pure and immutable principles of private morality. What happens in the home, folks, destroys our nation. You don't hear a lot anymore about families. You don't hear about families. They're broken up. They're falling apart. How many kids do we have in our master club or even our teens who are going through such a difficult time because of broken homes? Broken homes. It ought to break our hearts. We got to do everything we possibly can to make sure that these children are getting the truth of the Word of God. That if they're not going to get it in public school, folks. It's not going to happen. John Adams, our second president, stated, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." Moral people only. When they put the Constitution of the United States together, they put it together based on the Word of God. Godly men got together. Were they all Christians? No, they were not. But they still respected the Word of God. Whether they believed it or not, there was a time when other religions would look at Christianity because they knew we were right and they're wrong. We are the only quote religion in the world who can say our Savior lives. You can go to the gravesite of Muhammad, Buddha, all those evil people that claim to be gods. They're not gods. They're dead. They are dead. Our Savior lives. And He ever lives interceding on our behalf every single day of every second of every moment because He lives in eternity, which we don't understand eternity. But I'm telling you, one day we will, folks. When we leave this world and we step into eternity, and we're going to know what eternity is. And if you're in the presence of God Almighty, there's no better place to be. But if you wake up in a place called hell, separation from God for eternity, oh my, oh my, it's over then. You leave this world without Jesus, it's over, folks. It's over. And if it's over, I mean it's over. That's the end of it. Four times in the book of Judges, the anger of the Lord was hot. In Judges 2:14, Judges 2:20, the anger of the Lord was hot. Judges 3:8, the anger of the Lord was hot. Judges 10:7, the anger of the Lord was hot. Each one against Israel. I don't want God's anger to be hot against the United States of America. And I certainly don't want His anger hot towards me. Folks, we got to guard ourselves every single day. That's why we open our church doors on Sunday morning, on Sunday night, on Wednesday night. If you can be here, be here. There's no better place to be than in the presence of God's people. And I know there's things that hinder us from being able to be in the house of God at times, but I'm telling you right now, if you don't want the anger of the Lord to get hot against us, we got to make every effort that we possibly can to get on our knees before a holy God and confess our sins to Him individually and collectively as a nation. It's got to happen. You want revival to come to your heart? Because, you know, it's not going to come unless it starts with one person. One person. One individual is all that it takes to set this nation upside down for God once again, or should I say right side up, because we're already upside down. And it's time that we do something, folks. We can't follow after the nation of Israel. We need to learn from their mistakes. The best thing you can ever do is learn from the mistakes of other people. So we're witnessing the results for the lack of moral upbringing of the children in our generation today. We try to determine our own standards of right and wrong. We let people to choose. Well, you know, yeah, if that's okay for you, it's okay. Then, you know, as long as it's not bad to you, it's good. Wrong! When God says, thou shalt not. Wrong is wrong. If God says, thou shalt, do it. If it's the right thing to do. You know, the Bible says clearly, to him that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you know the right thing to do and you still don't do the right thing, it is sin in the eyes of God. And you will be judged for that one day. You'll be judged for that one day. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Isaiah said that in chapter 5, verse 20. People in America have got to turn to God in repentance and put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that's going to save this nation. The only salvation that our nation has is one, Jesus Christ. That's it. It's him and him alone. So, number one, the nation of Israel was a chosen people. I believe that the nation of America was chosen by God to shine the light for the Lord Jesus Christ. When we became a nation, that's why we became a nation. We were privileged and we got promises from God, just as the nation of Israel did. Number two, they were a careless people, but they were warned, they went wayward, and they followed after the wickedness. Number three, they were a chastised people. God gave his method of chastisement right there. He gave them over. He gave them over to their enemies. But he also, when they cried out for help, God gave mercy. He delivered them. He forgave their disobedience. And all they had to do was stay with him. But they didn't do that. They turned their backs on him every time. And how there's Christians like that in this world, folks. I mean, you can compare yourself to the nation of Israel sometimes. We do the same things. God forgive us. God help us. Because that's the only thing that's going to help our nation is God. Is God Almighty. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so thankful that you are a God of mercy, a God of grace. Lord, we don't have to worry what tomorrow holds if we have Jesus in our heart. Because, Father, that's where it's all about. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There are so many false religions out there that are leading people straight into the pits of hell. And people are so easily swayed because they're being told what they want to hear rather than what they need to hear. Father, help us to always, always, through the love of God, share the truth and never shun the truth of your word. And don't tell people what they want to hear, but let us be a church, Father, a people that tells them what they need to hear, that the only way is Jesus. Father, continue to work in our hearts. Help us to be able to make a difference, to be a light in such a dark world, to point others to Jesus Christ. Help us to fall in love once again and to know him in a very real and a very special way. As Paul put it, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. As Peter was the one that said that, I believe. But Lord, help us, Lord, to know him, to know the power of that resurrection. Because that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that gives us eternal life. Help us to put our faith and trust in him more and more each and every day. Pray for the Christian today, Father, who needs to make their heart right with you, who's living like the nation of Israel, up one day, down the next. Lord, I pray for the unsaved today, Lord. There's so many. I believe there's probably more unsaved people in America than there are Christians. We've become the minority, Father, not the majority. But Lord, help us once again to reach out and to help this minority become a majority once again. To stand firm and strong on the word of God and be drawn closer to Jesus. Speak to our hearts now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.